Well, we are continuing our sermon series on speed bumps, those speed bumps in our lives and in our faith journeys. And when we began working on this series, Pastor Emily asked us to share times when we experienced those speed bumps, those challenges in life, those times when we were unsure, those times when life forced us to slow down and ask God, what is the plan? When I heard this question, I immediately recalled a moment a decade ago when I was still the proud proprietor of the Prairie Fire Inn and Spa in Strong City, Kansas. Rachel and I had purchased our little motel on the prairie back in 2004, returning back to our home state of Kansas and to be closer to our parents and families, and to start a new business providing affordable family lodging and rejuvenating spa treatments in the heart of the Kansas Flint Hills. We had a good run. We renovated a bunch of rooms. We created a little day spa for Rachel to work in. We started our own family. And I loved being close by Rachel and the kids as I worked. And I loved showing old Westerns and Soundies in the parking lot of that motel on an old bed sheet. And I loved chatting with guests and sharing the best cup of coffee that you could find in Chase County, Kansas. And I loved hearing about these stories and building these relationships as they returned year after year. But after 10 years of being in business, the little motel on the prairie was failing. We'd gone through all of our cash reserves and were accruing debt. And to be honest, although I was a wonderful host, folks, I was pretty good at fixing a toilet, too. I wasn't the best bookkeeper or business person that you may have met. And I vividly remember this moment sitting on the stoop of one of those motel rooms after cleaning the room myself because we could no longer afford to hire help to clean our rooms. And I put my head down in my arms and I let out a deep sigh, and suddenly I just lost it. I was weeping and wondering, God, what is your plan? I mean, my plan had failed. I felt like I had failed my family. I felt embarrassed. I thought I had failed my community. I had served as the Chamber of Council president for 3 years. I had organized rural development groups. I had led workshops on rural entrepreneurism. And I had the choice to make, either close my business or continue to run up debts. I wondered out loud, God, what is your plan? So as we prepare to hear God's word for us this morning, will you pray with me? Let us pray. Holy and loving God, slow us down, calm our minds, and break open our hearts so that we may hear your word for us this morning and know that wherever we are on life's journey, that you go with us, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as I was preparing for this sermon, I went to Reddit, which is this social media platform for people that don't really like social media platforms, and I searched for inspiring career change choices. Well, I got some things like this, if I can find it. Here we go. Been in the same industry for 30 years, and I was fried. Wish I could stop thinking it's too late for anything else now. The only option is just to ride it out to retirement. Or this one. I'm 56 and just resigned 3 weeks ago from a highly toxic environment. I've been a software IT since 1986, and I'm just so tired of it all. Or maybe this one. When I got my colonoscopy this year, the nurse in their 50s and I were chatting before the procedure, and he let me know that he had been in software for 20 years and made a career change to his current job. And I felt nothing but envy of this colonoscopy nurse. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? Is anyone feeling me right now? I mean, I know these stories aren't particularly inspiring, but I think that we've all kind of wondered at one time and another, God, what is your plan for my life, for my vocation, for my work? Well, a favorite scripture for graduations and baptisms is from the prophet Jeremiah, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." But here's the thing. If you back up just a couple verses, this is how he starts. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know if you caught that, but 70 years, 70 years. The people that were hearing the prophet preach probably wouldn't be alive in 70 years. He was asking them to place their trust and hope in a plan that they may never see to fruition. So you might ask, well, how do I know what that plan is? How do I know where God is calling me? Well, the prophet concludes this passage this way. Then you will call on me and come to pray with me, to me. And I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. When you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The prophet goes on to explain just a couple chapters later that God writes on our hearts. And the author and educator Parker Palmer tells this wonderful story about how there was a student that asked his rabbi, "Why does God write on our hearts? Wouldn't it be better to put those things inside?" And the rabbi replies that God writes those things on our hearts because our hearts at first are too hard. That it's only when the heart is broken open that those words are allowed to sink inside. Palmer describes this process as getting to know the soul, and he describes the soul as distinct from one's ego or one's sense of self, and metaphorically, he describes it as a wild animal in the forest. Not best to go find, crashing and being noisy, but only seen in glimpses when one sits quietly and waits. Only seen in glimpses. Well, this type of discernment is a lifelong process. God calls us at the age that we are, and in every age and stage of our lives. But it's so easy to ignore this when things are going according to plan. There are times when these speed bumps in our careers and our vocation are meant to slow us down and to break open our hearts. When we lose a job, when we're passed over in a promotion, when our businesses fail, or when we are simply just burnt out, these are opportunities of discernment, opportunities to slow down and listen, opportunities to see with our hearts cracked open wide. Vocational speed bumps are an opening and an opportunity to pause and to ask, what gives me joy? What excites me? Where can I share my gifts? Where is God calling me? Because you see, our failures are actually an opportunity for our transformation. And even if you've never had the pleasure of closing a business or losing a job, chances are that you will experience more than one career change in your lives. a study of the U.S. labor market last year by the World Economic Forum, said that American adults, by the time they are my age, will probably go through 12 or more jobs and 5 to 7 different careers. I mean, I've made pizzas, I've waited tables, I've folded more shirts at the Gap than I would want to admit. I've worked as a political aide and a speech writer. I've worked as a research assistant. I've worked as a bartender. I've worked as a musician. I've worked as a nightclub manager and as a failed innkeeper. And in that moment, on that stoop about 10 years ago when I was at my wit's end and I was wondering, God, what is your plan? I would have never dreamed that I would be right here with you all now. I'd love to tell you that in that moment of despair, that God gave it me this plan that sort of laid that all out, that roadmap to where I am now. I didn't have it all figured out. But what I did know in that moment was that God wasn't done with me yet. Discerning God's call is less about figuring out a detailed plan and more about moving toward responsiveness and receptiveness to where God is leading, trusting that God goes with us and continues to do new things in our lives. God is not finished with us yet. Granted, I know it's a lot easier to see God's plan when you're looking back rather than looking forward. It's a lot easier to see where God was at work in your life in retrospect. But it's all just a matter of perspective, is it not? On this fifth Sunday of Eastertide, this season of our church year, when we celebrate the power of Christ's resurrection in our own lives, we once again proclaim that we are resurrection people, continually being transformed in and through Christ. This is God's audacious claim on our lives, that we are meant to change. And sometimes that change is messy, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, and it can be scary, because it requires that we let go and we open our hearts to God. And often we cannot see where God is leading until we look in that rearview mirror. Well, last fall, I had one of those life comes full circle moments where you get this clear view in your rear view. I was asked to be the keynote speaker and preacher at this middle school retreat at the Presbytery at John Knox Ranch. And as a teenager, I was actually really involved in my youth group and in the Presbytery Youth Councils planning these kind of events, both at the regional and the national level. And it instilled this love of worship planning and theology and church leadership. And I admit, I flirted with the ministry a long time ago, but I got distracted. I got distracted by all the other adventures and things in my life. Well, the theme for this retreat was one of my favorite Hebrew scripture verses, and it comes from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This passage has been recited by the faithful in times of trial and turmoil throughout generations and down through the centuries. And it is a reminder that our Creator calls us by name and claims us and promises to walk with us no matter what. And as I was sharing this good news in this room full of teenagers, I was filled with gratitude and with awe in recognition of all that God had done in my life, all the doors that had been opened for me to be there in that moment. When I passed through the waters, crossing over from one stage to the next, God was with me. When the currents of life's river threatened to wash over me, God stood by me. When the fires of fear and anxiety and doubt threatened to consume my hope, God continued to walk with me. God continues to lead me. God continues to work through me. And God continues to transform me into the person that I was created to be. May it be so in your lives, in the lives of your family, in the life of this congregation, in the life of the church. Amen.